like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield. 1 year deal. Can Baker Mayfield resurrect his career? Dude, I was just thinking about that draft class the other day. All those quarterbacks that we thought that was going to be the year of the quarterback. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson. And really, Baker's been a traveling man now. He had success for a moment in Cleveland. But he's been a traveling man since. Josh Rosen, no go for him.
What happened to him?
He was the guy that said he got drafted 10th or whatever. He's like,
third.
I'm going to make. No, Darnold got third. Darnold got. It was Baker, then Darnold. Rosen got 10 because right. Rosen said, I'm going to make 9 teams regret this for the rest of their lives.
And then was subsequently replaced the next year.
Yeah, pretty much. Lamar Jackson was taken, 32nd by Baltimore? Lamar.
Didn't they trade up to get him?
I don't think so. Maybe they traded up into the first round to get him. Maybe.
Yeah, like because it was weird because it was like he didn't go in the first round, and then Baltimore came up.
And then and he got him. Then they got him. So there was like, what was there, 5 quarterbacks taken in that first round? And Allen's certainly been the most successful. Then Lamar, then Baker, I guess, right? Darnold's, where'd Darnold go? He's a backup somewhere now.
I want to say the Rams.
Maybe. Feels like he's going somewhere where they've already got an established quarterback and he's just going to be a backup.
49ers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got a decent shot at starting at some point.
Somebody's going to get hurt. Brock Purdy had surgery. What's going to happen with Trey Lance? Yeah. He might have a shot still. Baker's going to Tampa Bay, though. They reached an agreement. How about this story? Josh McDaniels is an enigma, man. Darren Waller, according to Bleacher Report, Darren Waller was upset by Josh McDaniels leaking the Kelsey Plum wedding. Waller's going to have? Why? What? There's a tweet out, whatever. The trade comes 10 days after Darren Waller's wedding to Aces guard Kelsey Plum. The timing is interesting because Josh McDaniels accidentally leaked the news of his wedding to reporters at the NFL scouting combine. And Waller was upset, maybe requested a trade. I thought that was bizarre that they traded him. Now, Kelsey Plum retweeted that. Like, Robert Griffin III tweeted out, Darren Waller just got married to Kelsey Plum of the Las Vegas Aces, and Josh McDaniels' wedding present was to trade him to the New York Giants. McDaniels is not a romantic. Kelsey replied to that tweet, probably because he wasn't invited to the wedding, LOL. And then he gets traded. He leaked it out at the scouting combine.
So the wedding had already happened? Or
I don't know. What? Trade speculation is about that.
I don't know
Discord
who to be
between
mad at
those two.
In this story.
I don't either. Kelsey Plum for tweeting prolly.
Yeah, spell it out. You know, probably it's a word that people like. You may not get your first try, but sound it out.
I don't mind saying prolly once in a while if you just want to be goofing around, but don't type it out, man. Come on. So that's annoying to me. Darren Waller, like, did he request a trade because somebody let the cat out of the bag about your wedding? You embarrassed? You don't want people to know? Don't invite them. You're rich. You can get married anywhere you want.
You can't go to the wedding if you don't get an invitation. So.
And then are we mad that Josh McDaniels is talking about Darren Waller's wedding at the scouting combine? And did he say it like in passing? Or was he like, you know, freaking Darren Waller's getting married and I'm trying to build a team here, man.
That has anything to do with it.
I don't know. I have no freaking idea. Just another
Raiders,
thing.
still the Raiders.
Yeah, they're still the Raiders. They're just Josh McDaniels' version. Stemming from yesterday, is it FIFA Pro? Is that what it is? They call for FIFA to equal prize money conditions at men's and women's World Cup. I'm not going to get on here. Yesterday we talked a little bit about it. I'm not going to get on here and pretend to know all the ins and outs. I don't know what FIFA makes and stuff. This is just it. This is the thing. It's basic. It's basic economics. If your team draws the ratings, therefore draws the advertising money and the ticket sales, and you make a good chunk of it, then players should get a portion of that. Why does it need to be like equal when it comes to this? Yes, equal pay amongst same jobs in the world needs to happen, absolutely. But if I'm the general manager for this company, Walmart, and I'm a woman general manager for another Walmart, ideally, hopefully, those guys are on similar pay scales. And they'll get upgrades and promotions and all that stuff. Great. This isn't Walmart. This is a free market thing. Sports. It's entertainment. If a movie tanks at the box office, Cocaine Bear, and nobody goes to see it, is the director going to make as much money as they would have if everybody would have gone to see it? No. You got to draw people in. It's entertainment. If an actor is constantly in movies that don't get great ratings and they don't go to the movie and sell out, then that actor's probably not going to be employed anymore. So I don't know what they make here, dude. But that's it. If men's makes more, then men should get paid more. If the women's side makes more, the women should get paid more. I could care less about who gets what. If the money is in one direction, then you go where that money is. That's how it works. That's why when you guys complain about how much a player's making in the NFL, it's because the league makes billions, multiple billions a year, and they spread it out amongst the players that help them with their product. People complain, they're like, I signed $40 million. It's too much. These players are making too much. Well, if you're going to complain about the player, complain about the billionaires first.
So these are just three of the proposals that FIFA Pro addressed. First is equal framework of regulations and conditions for both men and women's World Cups, including parity on prize money. Second, calls for at least 30% of the prize money to go to the players competing in the tournament. Highlights that some federations do not have this agreement in place. Thirdly, it asks for a collective agreement by means of protecting these commitments.
So what does that mean?
So FIFA, when they have their World Cup tournament, they set aside a pot of prize money. Mm-hmm. You know, if you win first, second, third, whatever, you'll get that amount of money. I guess the issue was that the women's team wasn't getting as much of the prize money as the men were. Which may be possible when that pool has more money in it,
right?
Because they are getting more ad revenue.
Well, what's the ratings between men's and women's? Like, what's the money between men's and women's soccer and FIFA? That's the question here. That's where it stops.
So a total of $440 million was allocated by FIFA as prize money at the Men's World Cup, with Argentina collecting $42 million for winning that tournament. In 2019, FIFA tabled $30 million in prize money for the Women's World Cup that year, with the U.S. women's taking home $4 million.
So how much did the men's make?
They had a total of $440 million.
$440 million.
Winning team got $42
million. Okay, and then the women's brought
women's
what?
Had $30 million in prize money.
Yeah, there you go.
And they won $4
million. What? Why? Okay. Prize money, what was that from? What goes into the prize money? Like, is that advertising dollars, all that stuff? Like, what is put into the prize money, I wonder? Probably advertising dollars, right? Ticket sales, all that. So they basically give you a piece of the pie of what they're earning through FIFA. Wouldn't that be it? Is you're doing it off of advertising, tickets, whatever money we're bringing into it, we're going to take a percentage of it and put it into a pool. Am I wrong on that?
No, that's pretty much yes.
Dixon says, funny thing is, our women's team could probably beat the blank out of the men's team. I'm not arguing it.
I don't think it's not an argument about
it's who's watching.
Who is a better team or who is, you know.
I know more.
You want to say entertaining, but entertainment as itself is a subjective thing.
I can see a picture of like three Team USA players, and I from the women's team, and I would know them over the men's side personally. But that's also because they're all over social media and they're speaking out a lot too.
Right.
That's why
I don't
know
think
them.
Social media popularity doesn't correlate to the casual sports fan that you are targeted towards.
Do you have the ratings? Perhaps. B-Rad says, now compare the prize money to overall ratings. Men's World Cup has by far more viewership. I would just imagine if the pool is $440 million for the men's, the prize money, or the what they actually brought in, and then the women's is $30 million. I mean, because again, if they were both making the same amount, And what they got, like, for the prize and all that stuff was really, really that big of a discrepancy, then we'd have an issue here. But it's basic economics, man. If I'm watching your sport, I'm registering as a viewer. My registration as a viewer is making an advertiser want to place an ad inside your game. Therefore, we're giving you more money. Who's doing that more?
In 2018, the Men's World Cup was watched by a record-breaking 3.572 billion people, billion with a B, worldwide. Put that in perspective, in 2015, the Women's World Cup reached 764 million viewers.
Need we say more?
And grew from 2015 to 2019, grew 20%, or 22% more.
Okay, still not 3.72 billion, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's it. There's the argument. Brady, that's a sexist way of looking at it. How is that sexist?
Then the whole world feels the same
way. I guess. Then you got to heal the world, man. People are entertained by what they're... You said, what was that comedian? Burr? Was
Bill
it Burr?
Burr?
He's like, hey, where are the feminists? Why aren't you going to these games? You were talking about that video he did?
Yeah, he did a stand-up at Red Rocks, and he had a segment about the WNBA, and like it was made for, you know, for women. To women, this is your version of the NBA that you get to watch, and they're not going. So, mm-hmm. And then you'll yell at the men who aren't watching when it's not marketed towards them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... As many people complain that there's not equal pay, like with the WNBA and stuff... There's no way that those people that we hear complain are actually going to the games. Because have you seen highlights of those games? There's not a lot of people in the stands. So for all the people that have gone on protests and talked about women's rights and all that stuff and about games and equal pay in sports, you're the first one. You should be on the front line. You should be going to the games, not protesting.
You should be the biggest fans.
You should be the biggest fans. You should be putting money in their wallet yourself by going to the game rather than putting fuel in your car to drive to a protest, put fuel in your car, drive to a game, and pay a ticket. 19 minutes after the hour. All right, we'll take a short break. It's always an interesting conversation. Ellison Hubbard's going to join us, man. Former Colorado State Ram, played for Sam Houston State last year. He's trying to get into the NFL. Let's talk about his journey coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The trade deadline is come and gone. Can the Nuggets finally get to the finals? Hear our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
After the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And it is my pleasure here to reintroduce a great friend of the program, great friend of the state, the Ellison Hubbard, joining the show. Former Colorado State Ram, played for Sam Houston last year. Ellison, my friend, how are you, dude? Good to get you on the show, man.
Yeah, Brady, how are you? I'm doing awesome, man. I'm doing awesome. How is college life? Into the grown-up life. So,
I want to talk about what's next for you and everything in your process. But are you seeing all this NIL stuff that's going on, man? I was thinking about you yesterday. I saw one of the receivers for CSU, Torrey Horton. He got a car yesterday. Dude, NIL sure changed since the back in our day when we started at Ellison, a year and a half ago.
I know.
The times are changing, my friend.
A car? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, you got a car.
That on the social media? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and for folks that don't know, Ellison, we obviously reference you a lot on this program. You were the very first athlete that we here worked at. And it's, for my money, dude, it's probably the first college athlete radio show that's ever happened in the state. I don't know if it happened outside, but I got to say it's the first one in the state. You and I sat in our little lobby. You came here to tour the station one day, and then I think over the weekend the NIL stuff became legal, and we're sitting there and I'm like, you want to get into the media, man? What do you say? Let's do something here, man. So I just love that story. I love that history of it.
I know, and I'm excited that we were able to do that, just open up for, you know, the other athletes. I've seen you done stuff with Isaiah Stevens and Clay Millen and other players. So, you know, that's pretty huge, just to be able to hear their insight from how their seasons are going. So, I mean, man, that's huge that we were able to do that and just to get it going.
You paved the way for that, man. I mean, I didn't know what it would look like. I didn't know. I knew we wanted to get involved somehow. And then you had reached out through our old friend Gary Ozzello, and you were like, hey, I want to tour the station, because you've been doing media stuff. I mean, you sat in for Rockies games and stuff, so you've been all over the place. And it was like, dude, pop by here, let's talk. And then the NIL stuff happened, and boom, it's like, what can we do? You and I were learning on the fly about all this stuff, getting stuff to compliance, getting sponsors on board. I mean, you and I were just learning about all of the ins and outs. It was wild, man.
Yeah, we didn't even know what we were able to do, what was allowed, what wasn't allowed. I mean, it was just really, hey, let's just try this. Let's see what happens. And, you know, the compliance officers were like, I guess if you sign off on this paper, you're able to do it.
So, yeah. No, and you are such a unique story for us, too, because, of course, we all thought, and you thought, it was going to be, you're the starter on the D-line. You've been with CSU for so long. And then, obviously, the Adazio thing, and that was crazy. And your playing time diminished. And you're like, dude, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And then you transferred, and we were able to talk to you about it. It was wild, man. It was just, and I'll tell you what, though, dude, it was great radio. It was fantastic radio with you, my friend.
It was awesome. I know it was a short month. I wish I could have done it for a whole year. You know, I really tried to hide it. I was like, I hope this doesn't get out. I want to keep this radio show going. But it got out, and I was like, dang, my opportunity, you know.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, and I mean this, dude, Crazy Carl's Pizza, you introduced me to those guys. They still ask about you. They still follow you. I don't know. I'm sure they reach out. But they talk about you so highly because you were the example of what these NIL athletes should be doing. Is I remember you dressed to the nines, you show up, you're asking these guys about their business, you loved their business, you're hooking your fellow linemen up with their product, you're posting it on Twitter. You were the example of what is the ideal NIL athlete, man. So thank you for everything that you've done.
Of course. I'm glad I was able to do that. And I'm kind of saddened just to see how these other athletes are going about the money aspect, because it wasn't really about money for me. It was more of the, you know, I get to do something I love apart from football, and that's talking sports and stuff. I didn't care to have millions of dollars. You know, I'm in college. I can get that when I work my way into the NFL. Not come out of high school, like I've been seeing so far, oh, I need $1 million or I'm not coming here. Like, how is that? You know, how is that really the love of the game? You're just, now you're going to college to make this NLI money. And you know, I can't respect that.
I know. It's wild. And I think there's a balance. I think, and again, I love your story because you want eventually to get into the media. And so you use this opportunity as, hey, here's a way I can make a few extra bucks, but I'm also in what I'm wanting to do in my career. So I thought, again, that was the perfect example.
Yes, sir. And I hope that, you know, this radio show continues to grow in multiple ways, that, you know, even other kids that want to do this, they're not afraid to hop in and talk to you about it, even if it's whatever it can be. I want other athletes to know that there's somebody out there in Colorado, you know, at Colorado State or whatever state you're in, that is going to help you achieve your dream. And that's what Brady has done for me so far. And, you know, once I reach the NFL, do my years, man.
You're going to be back here.
I'll be working with Brady. Yeah. Who knows? I'll be working with Brady.
Hey, when you get when you get in the NFL, I'm going to be working with you. Don't forget about me, man. I'm sure I could find a job or something. I could, you know, I'll just talk to you for a while. We could figure something out.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. I know I'm going to go. Brady is my media guy. Is he in here?
Yeah.
Can I talk to him? There he is.
No questions for anybody else unless Brady's here. Okay, so Ellison, talk to us about last year for you, what your season was like, and then, you know, the next step and where you go from here, because I know that is the dream, is to get into the National Football League.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so last year I remember we talked prior before the season, and we had 9 games. And, of course, we played 9-game season, which is very irregular, very odd for a college football season, because it's not COVID now. It's past COVID, and we're playing a 9-game season. Mm. You know, we play in the first game. I know it was a big kind of thing, because I played against Steve Adazio at Texas A&M. And so, you know, I saw Louis Adazio, his son, before the game, and he was just happy to see me. And, you know, I was kind of shocked.
Wow.
I was like, oh, you're happy to see me. I thought you would have some type of vengeance towards me. But, you know, I guess it was just opposite. Maybe he always encouraged me at Colorado State saying, keep going, keep pushing. And so, you know, and speaking on Louis real fast, when I went to this college gridiron showcase for seniors after my season, a co-scout told me that Louis Adazio was speaking very highly of me and
wow.
how much he liked me. I was like, okay, so at the end, maybe they really did like me or saw something in me, but at that time, we just were butting heads. But
Well, to be fair, you still did all the right things when you were on the show. I mean, you could have taken opportunities to really bash the coaching staff and all of that, and you didn't,
yeah.
man. I mean, you didn't go that way.
I just felt that wasn't the right way to do it. And I know there's always backlash or something that comes from that, and I've learned from seeing years and years of media how that can go in the bad, you know, in the bad route. So I didn't want that to happen. But, you know, I played A&M. The first half, it went 17-0. Storms were happening that day, and it was all over, you know, early in the week, talking about how that game could possibly, you know, either get delayed or, you know, might get canceled. So we're in the locker room for 2 hours that game, and you know, at halftime, we were like, oh, my gosh, like, is this game going to get finished? We had, you know, the get-home opener. Fans are going to just pack out the stands and all of that. But, you know, we fought it out. Our coach said, we're not leaving here. We can leave at midnight. We're going to play this game. And
wow.
And then we're back out there. Yeah, we went back out there and finished the game. And then I shook hands with Adazio and them. And at that time, CSU was getting beat pretty bad by Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And he came. He said, wow, you see that score? And then he kind of just chuckled and shrugged his shoulders. And then he's like, good luck in the season. I said, good luck to you. And we off we went.
That was Steve?
Yeah, that was Steve.
And he referenced the score that like, oh, yeah, see, they're not doing so well without us, huh, Ellison?
He kind of referenced that way. He was like, he kind of referenced it like that. And I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I can't speak to that. I don't know what.
You're probably like, dude, I'd still be there if it wasn't for you. So what are you talking about, man? I love
exactly.
Because you loved CSU.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would have loved to see you with really Jay Norvell and this crew.
I know.
Freddie Banks and the defensive coordinator. I would have loved to see that connection.
I know. That would have been pretty cool, honestly.
Yeah. Well, that's wild. I kind of spaced that. I remember Texas A&M. Kevin Lytle and I were talking about that. Like, that would be your first game. But the rest of the season, I mean, you guys ended up having a very good season.
Yeah, 5-4. We ended up, so we went 0-2, you know, something that is not normal in their culture of winning. But I think it was just kind of a year everybody was kind of redshirting because, you know, it was a mix-over year.
Yeah.
Now they're in conference for this upcoming year. So everybody was kind of redshirting, kind of playing only the 4 games so they don't go over that. And I understood that. We had a lot of transfers as well. So we're kind of just mixing and matching, playing the game. So we went 0-2, but that second game, it was a close game. I know I went off that game. I had 3 TFLs and
nice.
A sack. So after that, we kind of started to turn the dial up, and we started winning. And then we unfortunately lost our last two, senior night and the week before. But I still was pretty proud of our team, the way we battled and handled our losses, and then we could turn that over to wins on some of those games. And just the way we, you know, young guys went out there and were hungry to play. You know, it didn't matter what happened during the season. I know we had a bunch of things that weren't going the right way, a bunch of guys, you know, leaving or something that happened. But we still handled the adversity, and we went out there and we gave it all our all during the season. And I, you know, that was something I really was appreciative of, is like, you guys could have quit on me and the other seniors that were here, but instead you guys were like, oh, it's my turn to step up. I'm going to show these coaches that I deserve to play. And that's kind of how it went.
Well, and again, a positive year for you overall, and, you know, a couple of big games for you throughout the course of the season too. So, that being said, man, what's next for you? What does that look like as far as, you know, your next steps to get into the NFL?
Yeah, so, you know, after the season, I got all conference, which was kind of a boost for me in my draft stock. Early back in January, I went to the College Gridiron Showcase, which is one of the senior bowls, not really the big ones that you would know about, but that's something that's still helpful for the seniors that are trying to know where they are in the draft. So I talked to five scouts there, two scouts from the Bears, the Eagles, the Raiders, and the Colts, and I impressed the Colts on one of the practices in pass rush. And you know, he was really excited, told one of my teammates that he thought I was a dog. And, you know, he talked to me, got kind of set up the iPad and, you know, kind of did a little interview process and all of that. So that was about a week just to practice and interviews and a scrimmage. After that, I've been training for 8 weeks here in Georgia at Chip Smith's training systems, and I've been doing pass rush with Chuck Smith and Dez Walker. And for them, Chuck Smith just recently last week went to the Ravens, so now he's going to be outside linebacker coach with the Baltimore Ravens. And the other trainer, Dez Walker, he just got a coaching job, D-line coach for the USFL. The New Jersey team, the Generals, I believe. So
wow, no, I mean, it sounds like you got a lot of great guys with information and insight that can can help elevate you a little bit, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's huge. I've been working with Chuck since junior year in high school. So, you know, that's just a huge connection right there between me and him. He's been helping me with my pass rush and my ability to get to the quarterback. So that's really just what's been happening for these 8 weeks so far. Is just constant working out. It'll get to the facility about 9 a.m. and we're not leaving until about 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. Wednesdays are pool day, active recovery in the pool, getting our shoulders and just moving around in the pool. So yeah, that was every day for 8 weeks. So
that's a grind for you. So what about the workouts and stuff? Like, is there a chance you could come back to even CSU to showcase a little bit?
Yeah, I've been debating workout with Cameron Carter. He's down there with me. He was a linebacker, number 12 at CSU. And me and him have been training, and he's been giving me the idea of why not. You know, Marcus McElroy is going to be at CSU's pro day. So he kind of just said, why not? You can have two pro days. And, you know, the only flaw I have is that Sam Houston's pro day would be March 27th on that Monday. CSU's pro day is the 31st on that Friday. So I'm just debating. I'm seeing if I should come. You know, I probably won't do every drill because I'm going to do all of my drills at Sam Houston. But to come back up there to Colorado State would be such like a good feeling.
Oh,
just
yeah.
To feel like home, you know, in a way. I'm home to where I was for 5 years. So
well,
I'm really thinking.
Oh, go ahead, Ellison. Sorry, I cut you off there.
Well, no, I was just saying I'm really thinking about it, you know, just going to be back and see all of you that helped me to become the man I am today, you know.
I think that would be awesome, man. And if you do, let me know. We'll get together. I owe you that dinner and everything we chatted about. So all that stuff, dude. Just know I was thinking about you. I've been meaning to reach out a lot sooner than we did, but wanted to get you back on the show, man. Think the world of you, and certainly rooting for you. And hey, why don't you just go get on the Broncos real fast? They're making moves, and then we could do the Ellison Hubbard show. We could just do that again.
I know. that would be awesome to play with Russell Wilson and the Broncos, but I'm sure they're trying to figure out their free agencies that they have going on and their trades. So hopefully they talk to me after one of my pro days.
Yeah, dude. Well, I'll do what I can. I don't know if they're listening, but I'll do what I can. Ellison, man, from all of us here, dude, from us, so what you helped us do kind of paved the way for this NIL deal, all that stuff. And then just, of course, you being you, such a joy to be around. Only good things are in store for you no matter what happens. So we'll be rooting for you, my man, and we just wish you the best of luck.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you all for listening and just tuning in to us athletes being able to share what's going on in our world. And I hope one day that I'm able to come back and continue to do this, you know, for as long as I can.
So. Well, you are welcome here anytime, my man. And we'll catch you. You let me know if you make it this way soon, and we'll catch you up then.
Awesome. I got you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. There he is. That's Ellison Hubbard, former Colorado State Ram. I mean, I told you, Angel. That's one of the better guys you're going to meet. That's one of the better guys you're going to meet. I'm telling you, it's such a funny story. This guy is so down to earth. You know, he had reached out to me, shot me an email, and he's like, Brady, hi, I know we know some of the same people. I'm interested in getting into the media world someday. And this is when he was still playing for CSU. He's like, I'd like to just come by and talk and check it out and tour the station. And I said, yeah, absolutely, dude. Come on by. That's great. That was a Friday. The NIL stuff broke on a weekend. So he came in like a Tuesday or something. And I was just like, wonder how we get involved with NIL stuff. Would that be something? Because I always get boxed out. Like, I always wanted to do like a weekly coaches show with Wyoming coach, CSU coach. Well, we can't legally do that because they're bound to their radio stations. They can't commit to weekly. So I thought, would a radio show make sense with a player? Ellison was here, and I was like, dude, you want to get into the media. Would you be interested in doing some kind of NIL stuff? He's like, heck yeah. He knew Crazy Carl's Pizza because that was his go-to joint. That was his favorite place. And so he's like, let's call them. And bam, that created that relationship. And we had some great shows. And then suddenly he transferred. And it was like, oh, man. And so he still came on and did stuff with us. But obviously part of the contract was that, you know, he's repping the school and all of that that went into it. So great time with him, man. Absolutely love that dude. 12:42 the time. Let's jump out, Angel. We're due for a break here. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFK.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Want to shout out to Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm. I tell you what, man, we know we live in dangerous roads in Weld County in northern Colorado. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. That's trialproven.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-888-530-0043. If you guys want to get in on the conversation at all today, poll question of the day: is Malone the man for the job? Is he the guy that can ultimately take advantage of Nikola Jokic's MVP window? Can he be the guy to get them over the top? Or is this a Golden State situation? I've said it for years that maybe if Malone's not the guy, you have to go outside the box a little bit here. Because again, I mean, when you look around, Angel, and you just think of some of the names of coaches that aren't available, or that are available, excuse me, like of guys that are just out there that are big name coaches, Mike D'Antoni, Quinn Snyder, former Jazz guys, he's still out and about. I mean, your response is going to be, well, those guys haven't done anything. I mean, D'Antoni actually was a head coach of the Nuggets for a small stint. Frank Vogel, he's out there. He did some things. He was there with the Lakers, wasn't he, in the bubble? Wasn't he the coach then? So he's got a championship, kind of. Terry Stotts, Sam Cassell. Here's the other name, Becky Hammon. Listen, people are like, why are you having this conversation? Malone's not going anywhere. Because I'm the counter argument to this whole thing about like fire Malone is, well, who are you going to get? Those are the guy. Those are the names that are available. But I guarantee you, Angel, when the Golden State Warriors went to hire Steve Kerr, I don't think before that news really eked out, I don't think a lot of people were writing Steve Kerr down as being the next head coach. Didn't know if he was interested. He had a great gig on TNT. He was very good at it. He hadn't coached before. His experience came from being with the Chicago Bulls and playing in the NBA. So he was a guy that not a lot of us were talking about. So when you say, hey, I don't know that Malone's the guy, and then the counter is, well, who are you going to get? There's a lot of basketball minds out there, man. It's all about pushing the right buttons. Knowing the sport is half the battle. And the question is Malone pushing the right buttons? Is he pushing the wrong buttons? They looked pissed yesterday. That first quarter, there was a moment in the first quarter, Michael Porter Jr. is bringing the ball down the floor. Joker wants the ball before half court. Porter just keeps dribbling. They pass half court. Porter decides then to throw the ball to Nikola Jokic. Joker's not looking for it. Hits him off the side of his shoulder. Turnover. Easy dunk. They looked rigid, nervous, out of sync. And does that have something to do with the head coach of this basketball team right now?
Well, I think we're all, you know, we're wondering what changed
right.
with this team in the last couple of weeks, because, you know, going back to that, I keep bringing up the Memphis game, but that's the most obvious turning point was the Memphis game. We built it up all week long as this big revenge game, Friday night in Denver. It's on national TV, all of this stuff. And, you know, we got caught up in that, and then we just, not that we ignored the rest of the schedule, but it didn't matter to us at that point because it was just about, we got to beat Memphis.
Right. That.
And, you know, it's not impossible to think the team kind of embodied that mentality throughout that week and said, okay, we're going to go all out against Memphis.
And now we've got the West.
Right.
I mean, because they went up 7 games after that, and it was like, dude, unless they just fall flat on their face, they're going to trip over the number one seed in the Western Conference. And right now, they are falling flat on their face. It's amazing how these long seasons, when you have a long season like these, you know, football, you have a 4-game losing streak, you're probably not going to make the playoffs. There's a decent chance you're not going to make the playoffs.
Could lose 5 and still make it.
You could, but a 4-game losing streak.
But you have to win the earlier games.
What I'm saying is, like in football, if you go on a 4-game losing streak, you're going to have to win most of your games after that. You know, if you start the season 0-4, you're not going. You have to win. If you're 3-3 in the middle, you know, 3-3 6 weeks in, and you lose 4 in a row, like, it's usually damning. Right. For basketball, baseball, hockey, you can lose 4 in a row. Hell, you could lose 10 in a row if you wanted to. But it is in those times when you're losing 4 in a row that we are freaking out. And they're rightfully so. The point of the game is to win. And when you lose multiple times in a row, there is reasons to look at this and go, is that going to carry over into the playoffs? The Nuggets haven't done anything to earn our trust. I'm sorry, but they haven't. LeBron can tell you he's coasting for the rest of the season, and you can go, yeah, they'll probably turn it on once they get into the playoffs. We've seen him do it before. The Nuggets haven't earned our trust.
I think the only one that has is Jokic, and that's because he has the awards to back
it
up.
He has awards.
But outside of Jokic, what is this team?
Nobody's earned our trust. This doesn't mean that we're bandwagon. Oh, we're mad at everybody. Fire everybody. This is a terrible team. This isn't working. Where we are.
We see the potential that this team has.
We know how good they are.
And we get frustrated when our coach doesn't do the right things to help them win.
And then that's when you have that conversation of, even though Tanner was way too soon on this, of if it doesn't work this year, do you have the conversation of moving on? 12:52 the time. Let's wrap up this hour coming up on the other side. In the final hour of the program, let's talk about the Nuggets some more. Let's talk about the NFL and free agents and the Broncos getting a running back. What does that mean for Denver going forward? All that and more coming up. Also, what did we learn? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, it is. Are we feeling Broncos country?
Hear team talk and coverage every day in Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
So did you watch some of that? What'd you watch? NIT play-in? Did you get into that?
I watched the two of the first four games.
No NIT for you? Too late for you, probably. You
no, I saw there were games on. I didn't get to it.
I watched the last, 7 minutes of the CU Seton Hall game. I'm a Tad Boyle fan, so cool to see Tad Boyle win. Good for him. But it's still, as I'm watching, do they feel good about that? We're here. We're in the secondary tournament. Our goal was to get into the March Madness, but I guess it's like a bowl game to me. Win it if you get a chance to play in it.
Yeah. It's another opportunity for guys to put stuff on film, practice.
I won't make it a priority to watch, but like I said, if I'm sitting around and there's not a Nuggets game on, there's not something else or actual March Madness, yeah, if a local team I like's on or whatever, I'll watch it. All right, final hour coming up next. Final hour of the week. So this is it. Last hour to get your emails to us. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.